is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. We've had their partnership manager and training specialist, Jefferson Mason, and marketing manager, Nick Bartlett, on the show in the past, and we couldn't be more excited about what they're doing for the game of basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Beyond efficient reps, Dr. Dish provides training expertise and versatility designed to develop complete players. The new Dr. Dish CT machine has further revolutionized basketball training with over 150 plus on-demand individual and team workouts from some of the best coaches and trainers in the game. These workouts include video instruction and combine game-like shooting drills with ball handling, conditioning, and agility drills. Along with workouts, the Dr. Dish training management system also provides stat tracking and analytics to track progress and ensure accountability. These are just a few reasons why top programs like Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Florida, Baylor, and countless others are upgrading to Dr. Dish. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. Follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And make sure you mention the Hoopheads podcast to get $300 off your next Dr. Dish purchase. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get out and get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today. Hello, and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Lensing here with my co-host, Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are going to jump on to beat a dead horse and talk some other NBA.
Oh, good one.
You like that one? We're going to talk a little NBA tonight. Hopefully everyone out there is continuing to stay safe and healthy. And hopefully it looks like we've flattened the curve at least some degree, Jay. And hopefully we're not going to be locked down for, I read something tonight that Harvard is
2022.
So that doesn't sound all that promising, but I have no idea what's going on, but we're going to continue to make the best of it. And we came up with some new NBA gimmicks, which I didn't even share with you, so I'm going to put those out at the end of the episode. But we got some news items we're going to take care of, so I'll let you run through those, and then we will get to our NBA gimmicks after we get through the news.
All right, so the first thing we're going to talk about, you kind of alluded to it at the beginning, was the horrible horse competition that occurred starting Sunday night. Now listen, Mike, I know I texted you about halfway through the episode, the horse thing, and I said, are you watching this, catastrophe or disaster? And you said, oh, I'm going to watch it on DVR.
You just said this horse is terrible.
Regardless. Okay, so here's my question, Mike. How much did you watch the full 2 hours?
Okay, so with caveats, since I had it on DVR, I watched pretty much the entire Trae Young Chauncey Billups match.
Did you see it all, or was it a little too jumpy for you?
It was a little jumpy. It was a little bit jumpy, which, again, I guess I can understand. But I did tough it out through the entirety of that. And the funniest part of that to me was how they went into it with Mark Jones talking about how Trae Young had said he was going to shoot all half-court shots, and then he might not have taken a shot outside of like 12 feet. And Chauncey was making fun of him for his short free throw line and whatever. That was kind of humorous. So yeah, the jumpy video did not add anything to it. So I watched that entire match. Then I believe the next one was the Tamika Catchings, Mike Conley. For that one, I fast forwarded through that. I caught maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 shots live. And then the next matchup was, refresh my memory,
Chris Paul.
No, Chris Paul was the last one, wasn't he?
Oh, that was the last one. That was the best one.
It was the Zach LaVine, Paul Pierce in the winter coat, it appeared to me. Yeah. That Pierce was when they first flashed to him, I thought, why is he wearing a parka? Isn't he in Los Angeles? I seriously thought, how is he going to play horse in a parka? And as you watched it a little bit, you realize it was just like a sweatshirt. It was kind of like puffy. But at any rate, that was a very odd match. And that one I watched, I don't know, I might have seen 5 shots again. And then I got a little bit more into the Chris Paul, Ali Quigley matchup just because, I'm not sure why, but it was just
because she was doing interesting shots.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
She pulled the
I guess her first shot was like the off one leg, jumping back, shooting, whatever. So yeah, it was again.
And she did the Maravich one.
Sitting on the ground, yeah. Yeah. I think what I learned from this is that my recollection of the horse competition being fun and cool, I may have misremembered that because even when you watched like the fun part, I think of watching it, like watching the Gervin Maravich and some of those other old ones was just the fact that I haven't seen them for 25 years. And so you're like, oh, there's Pistol Pete. Oh, there's George Gervin. Oh, there's Dr. J. And then when you went back and watched the actual competition and footage, you're like, yeah, this wasn't nearly as exciting as I remember it. It was kind of nostalgic, but as far as being an actual fun competition or something that would be enjoyable to watch, it really wasn't that enjoyable. And especially when they were in two different locations and the camera and internet connections weren't very good and it was so jumpy and it was just difficult to pull off. I'm glad they tried it. It was definitely worth a shot. It makes you wonder if they could come up with something, I don't know, more interesting, if there's a different type of competition, something that they could put out there that would be more entertaining than horse. I think the appeal of horse is that even if you're not a basketball player, chances are at some point you probably played a game of horse or you're familiar with horse. And so since people are so starved for live sports, but yeah, it didn't work. And I got to believe that whatever the ratings were for that first round of competition, the semifinals and finals, there's not going to be half the audience that there was for the first one just because of the novelty of it. And once people have seen it, I can't imagine anyone's going to be dying to tune back in for that.
Yeah, I agree. It was an atrocity. It was absolutely terrible. And I don't even know if I could stomach to watch the next round of it.
Yeah, let's put it this way. There is not a chance that I'll be watching that live and sitting through any commercials. There's, I guess, a slight chance that I could, again, DVR it and basically watch it on 2x speed just to see who wins. And so maybe we can make some comments about it in our next episode. But otherwise, yeah, I don't see anyone tuning in for that.
All right. So let's just say a horse is not on the top of our list of things that we're going to watch over the next few days.
No, we need something else.
Yeah. All right. So yesterday, Brian Windhorst went on, I don't know, what was it? He was on SportsCenter, and he was detailing a 25-day return to basketball. And real quick, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the audio, and hopefully it comes out good for this. I'm going to turn it up here. Here we go. Okay, here's the Brian Windhorst audio.
They're spending a lot of time, Jay, getting a back-to-basketball plan ready. They hope they get to use it. And in talking to executives and trainers around the league, what they're looking at is a 25-day return-to-basketball window. Hopefully, at some point, they can enact it. An 11-day series of individual workouts, where there'd be social distancing for a period of time. And then, hopefully, if the clearance comes that they can play 5-on-5 basketball, a 14-day training camp. So, as you hope for the country to heal and the virus to get better, look for at least about a 3.5 to 4 week return date before you'd ever get back to game.
All right. So here's my takeaways, Mike. I think the middle of July, if it's middle of July and we haven't come back to basketball, even maybe July 1, then they should just scrap the season, toss it. If you're going to sit here and do a 25-day training camp situation, which is understandable in this climate right now, okay? I'm not faulting the NBA, but if you're going to do a 25-day training camp in the middle of July, okay, or beginning of July for that matter, and then say at the end of July, okay, we're back at it, and how do you even justify the rest of the, like, I don't even know how they would go about doing the rest of the season. So I think that July 1 at the absolute latest has to be the drop dead date, in my opinion. It can't go anything past that.
I think you look at it and you have to say that if that's really the plan, then I think you're probably right that July 1st, anything beyond that, it starts getting real, real dicey and you start running into problems with the following season. Even if you get to that point, I think that there's no doubt that then moving forward that the league is going to switch to the Christmas start schedule, because if you don't start playing, if you don't start this 25-day warming up session until July 1st, and then that means you're basically not going to be playing games until August 1st. Are we talking 10 regular season games, 5 regular season games, no regular season games? What does the playoffs look like? I still think, to me, the biggest part of it is that if you don't get back to playing until July, let's say, you're going to have not played for 3 months, 3.5 months, 4 months. Is it even relevant anymore in terms of it being the same season? If a team wins a title, does that, I mean, obviously it matters to some degree, but it's certainly going to be the most tainted championship ever awarded. And so I just think that as more and more news comes out and you hear that plan, and I understand, just like you said, a lot of guys just don't have the access to facilities that they need in order to be in top shape. You don't want to come back and put everybody into the playoffs where suddenly guys are competing full go and many of them may not have been able to get up and down the floor or play any basketball in the time that they've been sitting out. So I get it, but man, does that push the timeline back further? And when you think about that length of time dedicated to a training camp, to me, that's just more opportunity to put people together and something to go wrong and somebody to test positive, and then that throws the whole thing into disarray again. And so the more I read, the more you see, the more you hear, I really think that we're done. I think the season is over. I don't think they're going to get to the playoffs. I think that by the time the public is ready for the NBA to come back, by the time the NBA can safely come back, I think it's going to be either A, too late, or B, it's just going to be, hey, not only is it too late, but we're going to be hoping to start the next season on time. And so, I don't know. I'm not optimistic. I think I've become less optimistic that they're going to figure out a way to get this done. I don't see it.
Yeah, I just don't see there any chance, quite frankly, of doing that at all. And I think, you know, I think it's almost better for the sanity and the health of all the players. And we, as much as we want to jumpstart the careers to come back into everything happening, I just don't think that it makes any sense to rush this thing back together. It's just my opinion that the last thing we need is for them to get back out there playing, and then go out there and someone gets, you know, absolutely gets sick, and then it's just a whole snowball effect. Whereas at this point, you know, just let it happen, let this trash the season. If we're really talking a 25-day training camp, it's like you're having an extra training camp. So what you're telling me is we're going to do a 25-day training camp. We're going to play a few games. Then we're going to do the playoffs. And then how many months were we talking they're going to get? By the time it's all said and done at this point, Mike, you're going to get, what, a month and a half off? And then you're going to be at training camp again. Maybe 2 months, depending. I mean, if they start it in July, let's just use the July time frame. They start in July 1. They do 25 days. That gets us to July 25th. Okay? They have to have a few regular season games because all the teams are going to play games. They're not just going to jump right into the playoffs, would be my assumption.
That's what it sounds like with this 25-day plan. That's certainly what it sounds like.
Yeah, so everyone's going to play. How many games is everyone going to play? Are they going to just play 5 games, and then we're going to go into playoffs? Is it going to be everyone's going to play X? I don't know what it's going to look like. So let's just say they play 5 games, okay? Best case scenario, that's 2 weeks right there. So now we're in the second week of August. Now we're going to do playoffs. We got 16 teams. They go three. Let's just say that they do a 3-game series for all the rounds till the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference Finals, okay? So the first 2 rounds are 3 games. Well, that's still potential, you know. That's 2-3 weeks right there.
If you put a day in between each game, that's 6 days per, yeah, you know, 6 days per series,
okay? And so best case scenario, in my opinion, that's probably 2 weeks, because you can't play all the games on this every day. Like, you can't play all the games. Half the series we play on Monday, half the series we play on Tuesday, and then we kind of go vice versa like that, right? Would you agree with
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yeah, so that gets you to 12. That gets you to 2 weeks. So that's round one. Then you're down to, you know, the eight teams on each side. Once again, you're in the same situation where you'll probably play two games each day. Okay, well, that'll spread us out another 2 weeks if we're playing three-game series there. So now that gets us to September. Now we're getting into the Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals, and I would guess, Mike, they probably push that to five games. I wouldn't think they'd keep that at three. So now that's at five games. So now that's almost, I don't know if I'll say that it's going to be 3 weeks, but, you know, two and a half. Let's say 2.5 weeks for five-game series, okay? Maybe three.
Then well, you get to the final. No, if you have a five-game series, you can play every other day and be done in 10 days. Right?
Yeah, but...
Right? Oh, you're just playing every other day. So I think you're extending out the timeline a little bit longer.
Okay, but still we're middle of October or before this is done. Beginning of October, I would think.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think what's going to happen is if they come back with the 25-day plan followed by a couple of regular season games followed by whatever they decide to do with the playoffs, I think you're clearly looking at that stretching into October. And if you're stretching that into October, that clearly then means that you're not going to start. The earliest you would start the next season is Christmas. And even that seems crazy because you'd have to work in – typically teams have a three-week training camp, whatever, 3.5 weeks before the normal season starts. So if you're going to then take that situation and put that in front of the season, then you're looking at not starting until, I don't know, in January, or you're looking at only taking a couple weeks off from the finals till when training camp opens, and I just don't see that happening. I think that, and again, none of us know because I think everybody's struggling to figure out what does it look like when we come back? When are we going to know that it's safe to be back, or when are people – governments, businesses just going to say, you know what, we just can't afford any longer to be quarantined. We just can't afford to stay in our houses. We can't afford to watch our businesses fail. We can't afford just to sit here from a social standpoint. At what point do people just kind of start to say, we got to get back to normal? And I don't know when that is. You don't know when it is. Experts don't know when that is. But regardless of when that takes place and how it takes place, I'm not sure that it's going to take place in the time frame that's going to allow for this NBA season to finish. If I was betting, I would say no NBA season. I would bet on no Major League Baseball season, and I would bet on football being delayed and being played in empty stadiums if it happens at all.
Yeah, football. I think football is really the big test, Mike. I don't know if they would play if there was empty stadiums. I don't think that football would play if there was empty stadiums.
Yeah, but football is so tied up in TV money. So much of their money comes from TV. And if you think about the product of football, it's much easier consumed on TV than it is in person. And not that they don't want the gate, but the gate is so much less important in football because there's only 16 games and 8 of them are home games. So you're not missing the tremendous amount of revenue from the gate and concessions like you do in basketball or baseball. Football is all driven by TV. And so I think football, you could play in an empty stadium, and depending on the camera angles and the way that you shot the game, you could probably downplay the fact that there's nobody there. But the NFL also has much bigger rosters, many more people who would have to be quarantined or away from their family. Again, unless we're in a situation where everybody has just been freed up to do whatever they want and life returns to normal, then maybe it happens. But I don't know that football, let's put it this way, I would not be confident that the football season is going to flow on its normal calendar where we're going to have training camp and exhibition games in August. I would be very surprised if that happens. But I do think that at some point, the next NFL season has a chance to be played in some form or fashion, whereas I just think the NBA and Major League Baseball for this year, I don't see how it happens. I just don't.
All right. We'll see what happens. It's interesting. You know, I will say this. I think a sport like golf has a much higher chance of happening because, you know, it's 80 players. They can close it off to the fans and not have the fans come, and the PGA can still wrap it up. I think that's a much easier perspective, something like that on that kind of scale, because you're really looking at 80 to 100 golfers, and I think that's much easier to contain than 27 player or all these different players and all these other factors. I think you're right in the sense that I think the NBA season's in big time jeopardy. I think Major League Baseball is in big time jeopardy. And NFL, I'm hesitant to throw the NFL to the wolves yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if what you're saying comes to fruition. But I think, like I said, I think PGA has a chance of coming back. I think like the smaller sports like that, tennis can probably make it happen, but I don't think the bigger sports are going to be able to.
Well, the difference with, let's say, tennis or golf is because they're individual sports, you could in theory play the Masters and have people be social distancing. There wouldn't be a need for any golfer to get within 6 feet of another golfer. You could certainly have rules officials and keep people separated and all that and keep fans out. Tennis would be sort of the same thing. Whereas in a contact sport, basketball, football, obviously, players are coming into contact with each other directly. And so you just run the risk of one person gets it, and clearly it can quickly spread amongst others. And even baseball, I know we talked about it last week, how they were talking about having guys stand or sit in the stand 6 feet away from each other and whatever. And to me, that's still, if I got a guy on first base and I'm the first baseman, or we're breaking up a double play, there's no way to keep contact out of those games. So I guess golf and tennis could potentially have the opportunity to come back. But again, I think there's a perception issue that if golf comes back but regular society's not back, how does that all play out? So I think there's a lot of factors at play, and I'm not sure any of these leagues are going to be all that hot on playing when the rest of us still have to be quarantined in our houses. I'm just not sure how that's going to be perceived and what that's going to look like. And there'll be a huge part of the population, I'm sure, that would be excited to have games back, us included. But then there'd be a whole other group of people that would say, well, why are we putting these resources in testing and doctors and keeping an eye on all this just so these rich guys can play a game? And you know that faction of people would be out there for sure, no matter what happens.
Yeah,
so.
I will say this. I think if golf was to come back or some other sport would come back, I think it would be it would get garner a lot of interest from people because it would be a sport on TV. I still think golf's well-watched, especially like you said, Masters and whatnot, but I think it would become even more popular because it would be like the only sport on TV, maybe.
Yeah, it'd be the only game in town. And you would think golfers would have the ability to get out to a course or a driving range or something and be able to be at least relatively sharp coming back and being able to play. I mean, I could be wrong, but who knows?
Well, no. Well, on that point, this past Sunday, they reran the 2019 Masters with the Sunday, the fourth round, where Tiger won. Okay. And the whole 4.5-5 hour broadcast, they had Tiger and Jim Nance commenting on it. Like, it was live. They were doing it live. So, like, they would pop in every once in a while, and Tiger would comment, and he's like, I'm still going to the the golf course here. They're letting members come out and play, but only members are allowed. We're not allowed to bring visitors or anyone, and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, and I see pros out here all the time. We're still playing golf because we're able to social distance. So, to your point, I think, golfers are easily able to work on their game because all I have to do is find a course that's open. I mean, heck, I could go down the street. There's courses all around here that are still open. Like, my dad and I kind of floated the idea of maybe going this weekend when it's nice, just him and I. I mean, I haven't had face-to-face contact with my dad. Obviously, I won't be, like, right up in his grill. But, like, I haven't had contact with either of my parents other than FaceTime for almost a month at this point. So it'd be nice to get out there and get some exercise and golf and have a good time. And they're only letting one person per cart. So, like, they're coming out with – They're coming up with ways for people to still come out and golf and social distance and follow the rules. And like, my dad's instituting the golf rule that any shot within 6 feet, it's good. We don't need to putt it out. We're just going to count it, Mike. What do you think about that one? That's my dad's rule. I like it.
All right. Well, why not, man? Well, I got nothing. I'm not the royal and ancient. You know, I'm not going to go against that. So forget about it. It's all good.
All right. So I think that's enough about our 25-day plan. We're going to talk really quickly, and it's probably in order to avoid what happened in China. The Chinese Basketball Association postpones till at least July. I mean, I think the writing was on the wall. They tried to rush that back together, and they're not ready yet. And I think once again, this was kind of tell the cautionary tale to the NBA not to rush it.
Yeah, my only comment there is I think that you're probably going to see when our professional sports leagues start up, you're probably going to see this same pattern in that they're going to have a plan in place. They're going to say, okay, the date is going to be such and such, and then we're going to approach that date and we're going to see that, oh, we're not ready to do that. Let's push it back again. So I'm not surprised that that happened in China, and I won't be surprised if that happens here.
Yep. All right. Last topic that I have. I would say they're looking for filler as far as topics for television shows right now for sports, because there's just not a lot of sports going on. And they've been talking a lot with the Michael Jordan documentary coming out. They've been talking a lot about LeBron versus Jordan again, whoever wants to argue that. We've said our piece on that. We're not going to talk very much about it. However, Bill Laimbeer came out on First Take today, and Mike has not heard this yet, so this is the first time he's hearing it. So here's what Bill Laimbeer said talking to Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman today.
I'm very vocal. I think LeBron is the best player that's ever played the game. He's 6'8", 285 pounds, runs like the wind, and jumps out of the gym. And more importantly, when he came in the league from day one, he knew how to involve his teammates to win. And that's something that Jordan had to learn for a long time. Now, if you go by championships, obviously Michael Jordan has more championships. But I think LeBron in any generation would be doing what he's doing right now all these years. And I think he, at the end of the day, I firmly believe that he's the best basketball player in the history of the game.
All right, Mike. So your reaction to that statement from Bill Laimbeer.
All right, I'm going to keep my comments to a minimum. But what I read between the lines there that our friend Mr. Laimbeer was saying was that somehow Michael Jordan's game would not translate to any era. Now, I'm not sure what era Bill Laimbeer is referring to. Maybe there's some era 1,000 years in the future when humans have evolved beyond his physical capabilities. But if you want to talk past era, present era, whatever era you want to talk about, I don't think there's any way that you can make the argument against Jordan. Bill Laimbeer is probably, I would say, slightly biased maybe against Michael due to his personal battles with him with the Pistons and the Bulls. And it's interesting because for a couple of years there, the Pistons beat the Bulls. And so maybe it has something to do with that he says, I beat this guy, so how good can he be? I'm not sure. It seems to me that you would tend to pick somebody that you played with against, somebody from your era as the best player, and the fact that he's not is a little bit odd to me. I don't want to go into the whole reasons why Jordan is the best. We've gone over it many, many times, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it a lot as we go through and watch The Last Dance and talk about those episodes. But clearly, Bill Laimbeer is wrong, and I will stand on my stump.
Would you say he's going by one of his nicknames, Mike? Counterfeit Bill.
Yeah, there you go. I'll tell you the one thing
I really know about Bill Laimbeer was that I have a Super Nintendo, Mike, and on the Super Nintendo there was a video game called Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
Oh, yeah. That's been all over Twitter today.
Has it really?
Yeah, because a lot of people said, whenever I hear Laimbeer, all I can think about is this. And they had like the
cover shot. Well, I did not see that on Twitter. Okay. I have a copy of it. And maybe if I get excited here, I'll take a picture and we can include it in the show notes of Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. What a game. What a game. You literally just tackle people. It's like set in the future. It's like a combination of football and basketball. It's terrible when you go back and play it, but it's a game that I have because I was into basketball, and It was either I had that and I have NBA Jam from the Super Nintendo. So,
all right, well, there you go. I think we might have to post the video of Bill Laimbeer getting pounded on by the chief, Robert Parrish, too. So I'll have to see if I can find that one and include
maybe,
that. In
maybe
the
that
show
can
notes
be the picture. To, that can maybe that can be the we picture can, for
we,
this episode.
We, yeah, we can put Bill Laimbeer's quote beneath the YouTube video of him getting slugged in the head by Robert Parrish and imagine that the chief is defending Michael Jordan in this particular argument. Yep. So, yeah, not
all right,
much
Mike
more to say about Mr. Laimbeer. All right, it's time for our gimmicks. So the first one, I think we'll go with the first one is going to be a quiz. It's going to be a quiz. We're going to test your historic NBA knowledge, and this should go fast because we're not really going to discuss anything. You're just going to be asked a question, give an answer, and then we will move on to the next question. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So here is our quiz. We are going to name each NBA franchise, and you are going to give us the all-time leading scorer for
Ooh.
That franchise.
Okay.
The all-time All right. leading scorer for that franchise. All right, so we're just going to go real
Start
quick.
Start with the Cavaliers.
No. We're going to go alphabetical order. I know okay. there's going to be some that you're going to get right that are going to be easy. There's some that you have no chance whatsoever of getting. And then there's some that you potentially could get depending upon the given day. Now, I went through before, and I tried to just glance at it and then write down, and I was able to get 21 of these. So we'll see how you do. All right.
Okay.
The Atlanta Hawks.
I'm going to go with Dominique Wilkins.
That's correct. You have one. The Boston Celtics.
Larry Bird?
No, John Havlicek. The Brooklyn Nets.
Now, wait. Hold on a second. Okay, so this is my question. Does this include the time they
I'm
were
assuming,
in New Jersey?
I am assuming that this includes the time that they were in New Jersey. Well, yes, it has to include the time they were in New Jersey.
Well, I think...
And now, let me preface this. These have to be points that were scored while they were playing for this franchise. So, like, you can't take Jason Kidd
so,
and
so
say
I'm gonna
Jason
take,
Kidd.
I'm going to take Vince Carter Jason, off the list.
It's not Jason
Vince Carter
Kidd.
Either.
It's not Vince Carter.
It's someone that's... I'm assuming this is one you did not get.
I did not get this one.
Oh, it's someone probably off the wall. I don't know. Probably, what's the guy's name? I don't know. I don't know. Go ahead.
Brook Lopez.
Oh, my God.
10,444 points for the Brooklyn Nets. All right. Charlotte Hornets.
Probably Kemba.
Kemba Walker, 12,009.
Okay.
Chicago Bulls.
Jordan. That's easy.
Okay, you have three. Cleveland Cavaliers.
LeBron.
Okay, you have four. Dallas Mavericks.
Well, I would go with Dirk. He played his
six.
Whole career there, so.
You have six. Denver Nuggets.
Carmelo.
No, Alex English. Detroit Pistons.
I'm not going to talk long here, but I don't think the early 2000s are going to be there because they didn't score a lot. They were predicated on defense. I'll just go with Isaiah Thomas, but I'm just guessing at this point.
Isaiah Thomas is correct. With a low number, 18,822 for Isaiah. I would have thought he had more points.
Okay.
The Golden State Warriors. Now,
Steph?
Let me preface. No, Will Chamberlain.
Okay. Oh, duh.
For the Philadelphia Warriors. You jumped in too fast. I was going to say, let me preface this by saying it's in the history of the Warriors franchise.
Oh, got it.
Sorry. Houston Rockets.
Elijah Wan, probably.
Correct. Indiana Pacers.
How close is Harden? I bet you Harden's close, though.
He's probably getting there. Elijah Wan's 26,511. So I don't know. I have no idea what Harden's at right now, but he's probably getting close.
Okay. Who's next?
Indiana Pacers.
It's got to be Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller. All right. The Los Angeles Clippers.
They've been so terrible.
There's no way you'll get this.
Okay, I'm not going to even bother.
Randy Smith.
Who's that?
So he played for the Buffalo Braves before they became the Clippers. So, yeah, you had no chance of getting that one. Neither did I, honestly. The Los Angeles Lakers.
Probably Kobe, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, Kobe.
I would say Kobe. Yeah, I would say Kobe, right? Yeah, I mean, he's up there.
That's one you could have easily gotten wrong.
No, he played his whole career there, Mike. That's the only reason.
I guess that's true. Kobe. Yeah, but the all-time leading scorer in the history of the league played for that franchise.
Yeah, but he didn't always play for the Lakers.
You're right. All right, Memphis Grizzlies.
The oft-injured Mike Conley?
Mike Conley, 11,733.
Okay.
Miami Heat.
Probably Dwayne Wade, because he played basically his whole career there.
That's correct. The Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay. I'm going to say Giannis, because I don't think it's right, but I'm going to say Giannis.
No, Kareem.
Oh, duh. I guess I should have. Well,
the Timberwolves.
Garnett. Why not?
Yes, Kevin Garnett, 19,201. Okay. The Pelicans.
He hates my favorite thing is he hates the Timberwolves
right,
now.
Right, that he refuses to go back. Yeah, don't retire my number.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
Well, I'm guessing because the Pelicans are new, so it's got to be Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, 11.
Because I don't. Am I assuming? And you tell me if I'm wrong. I'm assuming that are they including the time that they were the Hornets in Charlotte the first time or not? That's a gray area. That's a gray area.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but I don't know. The New York Knicks.
Well, probably Ewing, right?
Patrick Ewing, 23,665. Okay. The Thunder.
Okay. So does this include the Seattle Supersonics, Mike?
This does not, I'm assuming, include the Supersonics based on
what so then it's down to Durant and Westbrook, and I'm going to go Westbrook because Westbrook was there longer.
18,849, Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
The Orlando Magic.
Shaq?
Nope, Dwight Howard.
Oh!
Shaq wasn't there long enough, I guess.
All right, here's
one you have no chance of getting. The Philadelphia 76ers.
The Philadelphia 76ers. I'll say Iverson, but I'm guessing it's wrong because you said I have no chance.
Hal Greer, 21,586 points, played in the Wilt Chamberlain era.
All right.
The Phoenix Suns, you have no chance of getting this one.
No, and it's not Steve Nash. I'll just say Steve Nash. It's not right. But.
Walter Davis, 15,666.
Okay.
The Portland Trailblazers.
All right. So I'm guessing it's not anyone right now. Here's a question, Blake. I want you to tell me. Did we mention this player on the last podcast?
I feel like we did, yeah.
It's not – well, it's definitely not Bill Walton, man. So you helped me narrow it down. I'm going to go with the other guy from NBA Jam. I'm totally referencing NBA Jam here, Mike. Clyde Drexler,
you're right, 18,040.
Wow, okay.
The Sacramento Kings. There's no way you're getting this.
Is this someone we mentioned on the last podcast?
It is not. It's someone that you will in no way, shape, or form associate with the Sacramento Kings. Let me say that. So this goes back to the history of the franchise.
It's someone that,
you'll know the name. You'll clearly know the name. The name will be very recognizable.
So it's someone we included in our top three. Is it someone that we included in our top teams of NBA history when we did that podcast a lot of time ago?
It is someone we talked about. It is.
Oh, okay. All right. Sacramento. This is where he – is this someone that started their career or ended their career there?
To be honest, I don't know if he ever played 1 second for the actual Sacramento Kings.
Oh, so he played for someone else. What was the team he played for? You tell me that much?
Well, I'm giving it away if I tell you that.
Okay, I don't know. Who is it?
Oscar Robertson.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
22,000 points. If I would have said the Cincinnati Royals, I guess I could have said the Kansas City Kings.
If you would have said Cincinnati Royals, I would have gotten it.
Right, that's what I mean. All right, San Antonio Spurs.
Duncan?
Yes. Toronto Raptors.
Well, Let's see, Carter wasn't there long enough. So it's got to be someone from the new era. It's, I'm going to say DeRozan because I don't think Lowry scored enough.
Correct. DeRozan, 13,296. Okay. The Utah Jazz.
Malone.
Yes. And the Washington Wizards.
Formerly the Bullets.
Formerly the Bullets.
Now Michael Jordan's points don't carry over, right?
No, they don't carry over.
I'm gonna go with I don't think I have any chance. I'm gonna say Gilbert Arenas, but it's probably not right.
No, Elvin Hayes. Hayes.
So how many did I get?
All right, so let's see. You got, I'm gonna count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So you got 20.
I was 21. One short of you.
You were one short of me. So that's not bad.
Are you impressed? Are you impressed that I got 20?
I am. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. There are a few that threw me off, but yeah.
Did you get the DeRozan one or no?
Yes, I got that one. So okay. I missed Brooke Lopez.
Who did you think it was?
I said Derek Coleman. And I don't know what Derek Coleman's point total was, or maybe it was just the Brooklyn area, but I don't have the list for each team. I just have like a graphic. I missed the Lakers. Not because I didn't think Kobe, but I just discounted Kareem's thing. And then I also missed Kareem on the Bucks because I just wasn't thinking. I had no idea Randy Smith and the Clippers. I had no idea on that one. Which other ones did I miss? I took Durant in OKC just because I thought that he played there, you know, with Seattle. And I don't know. So I thought maybe I said Shaq for the Magic, just like you. For the Sixers, I said Barkley, just because I thought he played the most number of years there, that maybe he got there. The Suns, I actually said Amari Stoudemire. I know he had a short career and he ended up going out of there, but I didn't think of anybody else as being a scorer. Sacramento, I had no clue. I think that might be it. I don't know how many that was or wasn't, but anyway, that was kind of fun.
Okay.
That was kind of fun. All right. Now the next gimmick is, I was looking at Twitter today and they had a fun game, and I don't know how many of these we're going to do, but it may be something that we can put together and kind of make it a regular feature of the show. And basically what it is, there is three players. You have to start one, bench one, and cut one.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you three players. You got to start one of them, bench one of them, cut one of them.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go, this is off the Hoop Central website. So I'm just going to scroll through for as long as we want to go until we get bored, and then we can save some.
Let's do three, Mike. I say let's do three of them.
All right. Okay. So the first one, Bradley Beal, Paul George, Jimmy Butler. Start one, bench one, cut one.
I'm cutting Bradley Beal. I'm starting Jimmy Butler, and I'm benching Paul George.
All right. I would start Paul George. I would bench Jimmy Butler, and I would cut Brad Beal. And my reason for that is, I feel like Paul George, one, better attitude, team guy, was really good early in his career, went up against LeBron in the Heat. Jimmy Butler has proven that he's good enough to lead teams to the playoffs who otherwise may not have been able to get there, but his attitude knocks him down a step, and Bradley Beal really hasn't done anything to carry his team since Wall's been out, so I think Beal is the guy.
I only went with Jimmy Butler to start because he's a dog, man. He's going to fight, and I know it. Whereas I think Paul George, pre-injury, I would have taken him start, but I don't feel like he's got the same fight in him since he was injured, and that's kind of why I went with Butler.
Well, this would have been a telltale year for Paul George to see what he did in the playoffs, because clearly the Clippers were going to, I would think, make it at least to the Western Conference Finals and battle the Lakers had the season played itself out. And so he would have certainly had an opportunity to be able to try to prove himself in a big moment. So, all right, next one. Start bench cut, Russell Westbrook, Allen Iverson, Chris Paul.
Ooh, that's a hard one. I would probably start Chris Paul, bench Allen Iverson, cut Russell Westbrook.
Okay. I would definitely and start Chris. Go ahead.
Here's my reason.
Okay.
I think that Chris Paul is probably the best point guard of the bunch, like true point guard, and he's a good leader. And he never has had issues. I don't feel he's ever had issues leading a team. And I know there were some little flare-ups, but how much was that? Was that actually Blake Griffin's issues? Was that actually James Harden's issues? I'm going to say yes and yes in both those cases. And the fact that he's taken this Oklahoma City team to play better this year and play as well as they have, I think I go Chris Paul. I think I take Allen Iverson over Westbrook because I think Allen Iverson has displayed a grit. He would go out there and he would play 43 minutes a night, and I know Westbrook's played a lot of minutes too, but I just felt like I always knew what I was going to get from Allen Iverson, and I also knew that he wasn't just going to, I mean, he took a lot of shots, but I knew that he would at least know where his shots should come from, whereas Westbrook used to just jack up three-pointers, and he's still learning, although I think he's learned it this year a little bit more. I just think I prefer Allen Iverson's shot selection to Russell Westbrook's. Maybe I'm bad and maybe I'm misremembering and I'm just nostalgic for Allen Iverson, but that's why I went there.
I think clearly that Chris Paul is the starter in this case, and then you're basically splitting hairs between these other two guys. I would probably bench Allen Iverson and cut Westbrook, and that's by the slimmest of margins. Like you, there's something about Iverson's game and his toughness that just puts him a half step ahead of the great athlete that Russell Westbrook is. And just as you said, there's something that feels like it's missing from Russ's game that would enable you to win at the highest level. Whereas I think if Iverson, you know, in a lot of cases you talk about having to put the perfect team around him that would fit and do what he needed them to do, which is basically get him the ball and play defense and make up for his deficiencies. But something about it still says I'd rather have Iverson if I was putting a team together. So Chris Paul starts, Iverson goes to the bench, and Russell Westbrook is
cut. Well, here's some interesting stats, Mike. So
okay.
Iverson averaged 26.7 points per game. Westbrook averaged 23.2 points per game. Iverson shot 42.5% career from the field. Westbrook shot 43.7% from the field. Iverson shot 31.3% from behind the arc. Westbrook is shooting 30.4% from behind the arc. Iverson was a little bit better of a free throw shooter. So they basically are the same player, Mike. Like, yeah, when you come down to it.
They're very similar. I would bet probably Westbrook's rebounding stats clearly are better. And neither one of them was particularly good on defense, although Westbrook has a little bit more size than Iverson does. So I think you're splitting hairs, like I said, in either one.
Iverson averaged 6.5 assists per game. Westbrook averages 8.3 per game. But that's also inflated for two seasons where he was averaging a triple-double, too. So,
correct.
All right.
Okay, next
one. Last one, Mike.
I think we got to go one more after this. I think we got to go four.
Okay,
we got to go four. All right, so next one is D'Angelo Russell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, De'Aaron Fox.
I'm gonna start SGA, Mike. I'm ready to say it. I'm starting SGA. Right. I'm benching De'Aaron Fox and D'Angelo Russell. You can get cut because I'm sick of your antics. You're making the most money out of this three.
All right, I'm gonna reverse the top. I'm gonna start De'Aaron Fox. I'm going to bench Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I'm going to cut D'Angelo Russell, which is crazy because Russell's been an all-star. He averages almost 25 points a game, and yet I feel like there's something missing from him. And Fox has probably been, this year at least, and he's been the least productive. And Gilgeous-Alexander, I think, is definitely on an upward trend. But I still think De'Aaron Fox has the potential to be the best player out of those three. So I'm starting him based on his potential. All right, I want to find the last one. I got to get to it here. All right, this is a good one. This is a good one. This is a good one to end on. So we're going Los Angeles Lakers. Magic, Kobe, Jabbar. Start one, bench one, cut one.
I'm probably going to start Magic. I'm going to bench. Oh, God. This is terrible. I'm gonna start Magic. I'm going to bench. And I'm only saying this because I didn't see Jabbar play. I'm going to bench Kobe, and I'm going to cut Jabbar. And that's probably crazy, but that's what I'm going to say.
All right. I'm going to start Magic. I think that is relatively easy. I'm going to bench Kareem, and I'm going to unbelievably cut Kobe. I just think Kareem, all-time leading scorer in the history of the league, probably criminally underrated in today's game. And just, yeah, Magic to me is the best of those three guys. And then same way we talked about before with the Iverson versus Russell Westbrook, you can clearly make an argument for Kobe, clearly make an argument for Kareem, but I would start Magic, bench Kareem, and cut Kobe Bryant, which is kind of sacrilegious to say at this point. But
yeah. Well, that's interesting. Little.
It's fun. I think what we should do is we should kind of come up with our own three player groups, and then we can throw them at one another on our next show. Because to me, that's kind of a fun little exercise to get you to think about.
I'm going
to
pick the three players you hate the most, Mike, and I'm going to make you
start
one of them.
Okay. All right, that's fair. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be a fun little exercise. It's kind of a, like I said, it makes you think about what you value in terms of a player, in terms of putting together a team, and who you liked watching play. So there's a lot of things that can go into that. So I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I do. I think it's fun, for sure.
All right, anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
All right, well, we appreciate everybody tuning in, despite the fact that the NBA season continues to be on pause. We'll continue to try to come up with some interesting and fun things to talk about here on the pod. In the meantime, everybody stay safe, stay healthy, continue to listen to our health authorities, make sure that we're following the directions that they're giving out so that we can all remain safe, and hopefully the pandemic's not affecting you and your family, but we hope that everyone out there is staying healthy, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.